Pro.
An alarming number of people are being diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease as the population ages. USA Radio Network's Robin Walensky reports on two drugs on the market that can help slow the progression in some patients.
In USA News for Your Health, Alzheimer's disease growing at a rate of epidemic proportions. In 2010, there were almost 500,000 people newly diagnosed. But by 2030, the number of new cases expected to rise by 35% as the population ages.
People are living longer. What we know about Alzheimer's and dementia in general is that the incidence increases significantly with age. So it's rare in people less than about 60, but as you go from 65 up, it increases significantly and becomes a common disease.
Dr. Lisa Billers, chief of neurology at Kaiser Permanente in Georgia, says you notice it when a family member or friend can't remember recent things.
The problem in Alzheimer's disease is that you can't encode new memories, so those memories don't stick.
Dr. Billers says there is medication, but it doesn't reverse the disease. It can slow it down.
Aricept. And then there's also Namenda. Those are the two main categories of drugs. They've been on the market for a long time. They work for some people, but not everyone.
And finally, it was back on this date in 1915 when the 1 millionth Ford car rolls off the assembly line in Detroit, Michigan. For more news, find us online at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-wah! I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thank you for joining us. The Frontlines of Freedom team salutes all fathers on this Father's Day weekend. Joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is co-host Air Force vet Josh Lang. What's up, Josh?
Well, happy Father's Day to you too, Colonel. Yes, we're both in this dad boat together. But I'm holding my breath a bit this weekend because my oldest is taking his first glider flight. An opportunity provided by his Civil Air Patrol squadron. Me? I only do fixed wing with at least one engine, so I'll be relieved once he's back on terra firma. Blessings to all the fellow dads who are spending time with us this weekend. That's what Father's Day weekend is all about, getting to do that which we enjoy doing, even if it means doing nothing at all.
Thanks, Josh. And Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby is going to join us to share some warrant wisdom. And Marine Vet Skip Coriel is the father of the most kids on the Frontlines of Freedom team. So you're the winner, Skip.
Well, you know, I earned it, Colonel. Are you talking about seven kids?
Yeah.
Seven kids. That's a lot of kids.
And you don't have that much gray hair.
Well, I joke with my wife, Sarah, all the time. I say, you know, someday you're going to wake up in the morning and you're going to look at me and go, oh my gosh, it's an old man. And the truth is, people say, I don't look as old as I am, but I'm aging from the inside out.
Yes, it's nice to look good on the outside, but yes, you look on the inside. Okay, here's what we have for you today. A news and comment by the Colonel. I'm going to suggest that the recognition and honor given to the D-Day soldiers was totally appropriate, but the soldiers of the more recent wars are worthy of that too. Colonel Alan West will discuss the absolutely unacceptable situation our military has been enduring for years, that of combat veterans being charged, tried, convicted, and jailed for murder because they killed the enemy in combat. Then we're going to meet Renee Nichelle and discuss her book about her combat veteran brother. The book is Always My Hero. Next, Nathaniel Philsides will share about his book, In the Hurricane. It's about how our nation won the Revolutionary War. I learned a bit from this book. And my favorite weatherman, Bill Steffen, will join us to discuss his father, a combat veteran.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or do it on Facebook. And now it's time for news and comment by the Colonel. We'll start with the news. Lead out, Josh.
Our Navy has released videos showing the close call the guided missile cruiser Chancellorsville had with a Russian warship in the Philippine Sea. And one appears to show shirtless Russian sailors sunbathing as the tense encounter played out. Navy officials say the Russian warship came within 50 to 100 feet of the Chancellorsville, putting the ship and her crew at risk. The 7th Fleet said in a statement, quote, "This unsafe action forced Chancellorsville to execute all engines back full and to maneuver to avoid collision," end quote. Chief of Naval Operations Admiral John Richardson said in a statement, quote, "The behavior by the captain of the Russian destroyer in the Philippine Sea was irresponsible and reckless. This unwise maneuver and previous actions by the Russians at sea and in the air do not match what the world expects from a responsible and trustworthy world power," end quote. The cruiser was on a steady course and speed while recovering a helicopter when the Russian destroyer maneuvered from behind and to the right, speeding up and coming dangerously close to sideswiping the ship. The close encounter with the Russian ship was the second the Navy had in 3 days with the Russian military. Earlier, a Navy P-8A Poseidon aircraft was flying in international airspace above the Mediterranean when it was intercepted by a Russian Su-35 three times. Navy officials said one of the passes was unsafe.
I don't think either of these incidents was an accident. Russia is doing all it can do to show its muscle. We have to be ready to deal with things like this. Someday someone's going to die during one of these reckless maneuvers.
Brigadier General Laura Yeager, who early in her career served as a UH-60 Black Hawk helicopter aeromedical evacuation pilot, will become the first woman in history to lead a U.S. Army infantry division. Yeager is scheduled to assume command of the California National Guard's storied 40th Infantry Division during a ceremony at the Joint Forces Training Base in Los Alamitos on June 29th. Yeager currently commands the Joint Task Force North, U.S. Northern Command, at Fort Bliss, Texas. She began her active duty military service in May 1986, receiving her commission as a second lieutenant from the ROTC at California State University, Long Beach. She completed military helicopter training in 1989, and upon completion, served as a pilot. Yeager left active duty after 8 years when her son was born, but later continued her military career in the California Army National Guard. In 2011, Yeager deployed to Iraq as the deputy commander of the California Guard's 40th Combat Aviation Brigade. There, she served as battalion commander of the 3rd Battalion 140th Aviation Regiment, and brigade commander of the 40th Combat Aviation Brigade.
General Yeager had an interesting career, but as an infantryman, I'm not sure that someone who has never been in the infantry or the armor and whose combat experience is leading an aviation battalion and brigade is the right person to command an infantry division.
The top commander of U.S. forces in the Middle East says he believes the Iranians or their proxies may orchestrate an attack at any moment. Marine General Frank McKenzie said in an exclusive broadcast interview with NBC News in the Iraqi capital, quote, "I think the threat is imminent," end quote. He stated, "We continually evaluate our force posture in the region." The U.S. has beefed up its military presence in the region in an effort to deter Iran and protect American forces and allies. Over the last month, the Trump administration announced that it was sending an aircraft carrier strike group and Air Force bombers to the Middle East, as well as Patriot missiles and additional troops, amid heightened concerns of an Iranian attack. General McKenzie stressed that tensions remain high, saying, quote, "I don't actually believe the threat has diminished. I believe the threat is still very real," end quote. McKenzie made the statements after holding a series of meetings with the Iraqi prime minister and defense chief. McKenzie said he was heartened by the efforts of the Iraqi government to protect American forces and its allies in the region. General McKenzie noted that, to date, roadside bombs have posed the biggest danger to American forces in Iraq. But he added that the threat from the Iranians is evolving. He said, quote, "They probe for weaknesses all the time. I would say the threat has probably evolved in certain ways, even as our defensive posture has changed and become more aggressive. And we certainly thank our Iraqi partners for many of the things they've done. I think we're still in the period of what I would call tactical warning. The threat is very real. End quote. McKenzie declined to go into specifics on the nature of the threats.
Recently, at least four oil tankers in the Persian Gulf have been attacked, and there are reports that Iran has told its proxy terrorist groups to be prepared to attack Americans. Another factor is the U.S. sanctions are really, really hurting Iran financially. They may not be able to finance the attacks that they seek. We'll see.
The Department of Veterans Affairs charged nearly 73,000 veterans improper home loan funding fees, totaling up to $286 million, an error that could result in refunds for the affected veterans. The VA Inspector General released a report saying that from January 2012 through December of 2017, the VA improperly charged disabled veterans loan funding fees that they are not required to pay because of their disability status. About 53,200 veterans may be owed a total of $189 million, while an additional 34,400 veterans could receive refunds adding up to $164 million if the Veterans Benefits Administration doesn't fix the problem that resulted in erroneous funding fee charges, the report found.
It's been very clear that the VA was, at least at the highest levels, corrupt for years. That has changed at the highest levels, but it takes a while to change the culture. And that's the news. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel, and we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk with Colonel Alan West. At East Troops, take a break. Spartan Nash is committed to supporting our veterans as they transition out of the service and back into the workforce. As a veteran-friendly and military-friendly employer, Spartan Nash is committed to hiring, training, and retaining those who served our country.
Learn how your skills and experience can be put to use at Spartan Nash and begin your civilian career with us. Learn more at careers.spartannash.com.
This is Marine Vet Skip Correa with your Home Defense Tip of the Week. According to the U.S. Department of Justice, your front door is the number one preferred entry point for home invaders. On average, it takes 5 seconds to break down your solid steel security door. To prevent this, reinforce your door frame by doubling the 2x4s and by using longer, case-hardened screws to attach the hinges to the door frame. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit HomeDefenseShow.com.
So you sit down and do your budget, and you look at all your monthly costs and your bills and your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. That is the typical savings, $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your health care. And when it comes to healthcare sharing ministries, MediShare is really the gold standard. It's been around for 25 years and has more than 400,000 members. It's been around so long and grown so much because it works. And whether you're single or married or have kids, this could make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. $500 a month can more than cover a car payment or payback loans, whatever. So join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Here's the number to call. They are incredibly kind and helpful to talk to. 855-90-BIBLE. That's 855-90-BIBLE. 855-90-BIBLE.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Honoring Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
House Republican leaders are reacting to the news that the Democrats are drafting articles of impeachment against President Trump. Talking with reporters at the Capitol, Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy calls this a sad day for America.
With the idea, just because you created a timeline to impeach a president that you disliked, you ignored facts, we would never be here.
Busy day on Capitol Hill as House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says there's been a breakthrough in negotiations on a new North American trade deal.
This is a day we've all been working to and working for on the path to yes.
The USMCA trade deal is one of President Trump's top priorities and would give the president a victory before Christmas. Now, this would replace NAFTA, which was negotiated during the Clinton administration. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, everyone. Wayne Alarouche. Listen carefully to another great offer on one of the most sought-after assets on Earth. The world of political turmoil just gets crazier and crazier. Impeachment hearings, China trade wars, Fed money pumping, which are creating bubbles that could burst any day now. With one exception, gold and silver, which are currently undervalued and have excellent growth potential in 2020. So here's another irresistible offer to help you cash in on asset protection while you still can. My sponsor, Swiss America, is willing to ship my listeners another popular silver coin, the U.S. Peace Dollar, for just $16.50 each delivery. Delivered while supplies last. You heard me right. This is an exclusive offer to my listeners by calling 800-289-2646. Write it down. 800-289-2646. Get your supply of silver U.S. Peace Dollars for just $16.50 each delivered. 800-289-2646 or go to SwissAmerica.com.
Troops, welcome back to the nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome back to the show retired Army Lieutenant Colonel Alan West. Alan and I both volunteer with groups seeking to right a horrible wrong. Can you imagine combat troops being charged with murder for killing the enemy in combat? That's been happening for some 10 years now, and many of these men have served long prison sentences. And some are out on parole as convicted murderers. Alan, thank you for joining us today. I appreciate having you back on, brother.
It's good to be with you, Colonel Gillum. It's always a pleasure.
As I recollect, and we discussed this briefly, when you were a battalion commander, you got bumped by the goofy rules of engagement. It didn't damage you, but you ran up against it personally, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I mean, I was a battalion commander. We had some information on a suspected Iraqi police officer who was sharing information with Saddam Fedayeen forces operating in the area as far as our patrol routes and things of this nature. We ascertained who it was. He was detained, brought in. He was stonewalling and not providing information. You know, at the time, I had detailed to me two female interrogators, one the actual interrogator, the other the interpreter. And if you know anything about Middle Eastern culture, that's not a good tool.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, you know, I took it upon myself to go and use a psychological intimidation tactic and told the guy that if he did not tell us what we needed to know, we'd just take him out behind the building and shoot him and kill him. You know, it was never intended, but just trying to see if we could get him to think about providing us the information. He didn't. He stonewalled. Took him outside, fired one round from my service 9mm Beretta into the air, and then fired a second one over his head into a weapons clearing barrel. And he shared some things through the translator, and I went and let my boss know, my brigade commander, know exactly what I had done. I told him everything and the information we had gotten from him, and that was it. And about a month or so later, the assistant division commander came down and wanted to talk to me and ask me questions, and I was very forthright. I had nothing to hide, and I took responsibility for what I had done, and they wanted to try to court-martial me, which would have been 8 years in prison, but it ended up just being non-judicial punishment, a $5,000 fine.
Well, as I mentioned, when I was a company commander in Vietnam, I had a guy who same kind of situation, didn't want to talk. I walked up and put a bullet from my .45 caliber pistol in the ground next to his foot, and suddenly he started talking. And in both cases, what we were doing was trying to protect our soldiers, which is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to bring them back safe if we can. And somebody who's clearly not working with the enemy, who we did not physically abuse, I think that's what we're supposed to do. But that's an example of the weird rules of engagement that we at least used to have. And that's a lot of soldiers got hurt by that, didn't they?
Yes, they did. And as a matter of fact, I was just recently talking to someone about that over the weekend, about how, you know, this whole thing about IEDs. And it is unconscionable to me that we know that people are going to come out at night on the routes that we take, and there are routes that they know that we take, and they are in place in these IEDs. Well, why is it that they're able to do this in the middle of the night? We should have all kind of drones and surveillance, helicopters up. And if someone's on the side of the road, you know, planting something that does not look like corn, they should be immediately eliminated and taken out. But when you have these rules on the battlefield that are dictated by, you know, a lot of these lawyers who have, you know, subsumed so much power, that says unless someone shows you immediate hostile intent, you cannot engage them. Well, you know, that's how the enemy finds the gaps by which they can exploit us. And so many of these IEDs get laid out there, and it causes death and wounds to our troops.
And that's something that we as leaders and our leaders are supposed to avoid. Somehow we've got this idea that in war, no civilians are ever supposed to get hit. Well, I'll go along with that as a goal. But according to the rules of war, combatants have to dress like combatants. And when the enemy that you fought and the enemy that some of the enemy I fought and the enemies our troops are fighting today, they're, by that standard, they're all war criminals because they don't dress different. Mm-hmm. So don't be counting the number of civilians who got in the way when some of those guys are hiding behind their wives and children while they're shooting at Americans.
You're absolutely
that's
right.
That's ridiculous.
And that's the thing that we fail to understand at the strategic level. These are non-state, non-uniform belligerents on the battlefield. And the Geneva Convention is very specific about, you know, they don't have rights as the same as a soldier that fights for a declared nation. And I think that we go overboard. I understand being humane, but when we're talking about engaging this enemy that's trying to blend in with civilian populace, they're the ones that are causing the civilian casualties more than anything else. And furthermore, when you look at how we are punishing our young men in these combat situations, to charge them with premeditated murder in a combat zone, you might as well be writing speeding tickets at the Daytona 500.
I like that parallel. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking rules of engagement with Colonel Alan West. Alan, I took a look the other day at the lists of soldiers, mostly Army soldiers, a good number of Navy SEALs, and a few Marines on the list that I saw, which I don't pretend to be comprehensive. It's hard for me as a soldier to encourage people to join the military where that might happen to them. Now, I don't think those rules of engagement are still in effect, but I don't know that.
Well, so a lot of them have changed. I mean, and you can tell by the results on the battlefield. I mean, ISIS, their territorial integrity was taken apart so quick because you now have a commander-in-chief that's not micromanaging generals in the field or White House staffers calling down to, you know, the operational and tactical level commanders and bypassing the Pentagon and Joint Chiefs of Staff. So I think that that is why we're successful in getting things done. Can they still be improved? Absolutely. But I think right now what the focus has to be is on these young men that have been wronged over these past few years. And a couple of them have had exculpatory evidence withheld in their cases. And that means that you have military lawyers that are doing things that are unprofessional, unethical, too, that should cause them to be disbarred.
Well, I don't know this to be true, but I believe it's true that when the Army downsized 10 years ago or 15 years ago, somebody decided to keep the JAG Corps, the lawyers, the same number. So now all of a sudden, every battalion has got a lawyer in it. When I was in combat, I served at division level for a while. I never saw one lawyer. And now apparently battalions, and they're interrogating people when they come back from combat. I don't get that at all. That's certainly nothing like any combat unit I could imagine. It's got to be horrible.
Yeah, and it is horrible. And the thing is that it makes guys second guess themselves in a firefight or in an engagement. or a potential engagement. And you and I very well know that in a firefight, in the first 2 to 3 seconds, someone could lose their life. And you don't want to see our troops in combat and in contact, you know, cede over the initiative to the enemy because they're fearful of some lawyer that is sitting back there, you know, fat, dumb, and happy on the forward operating base or at a larger base, you know, having nice hot coffee and hot chow while they're out there doing the work and being the guardians of this republic and being the watchman on the wall.
Yeah, and, you know, I can't even imagine a battalion, a squad, a platoon coming back and having some lawyer say to you, the private standing next to me, did Gillum shoot somebody? Yes. Did he have a good reason to? Because if you'll testify against him, we won't charge you.
Yeah. I mean, and that's exactly what's happening.
And that just, well, I'm already a little nuts, but that makes me even crazier. How do you lead troops like that? How, as a leader, do you not stand up and say, then I resign, get me out of here, I can't live in this environment? How do we have generals who live with that?
Well, it's tough because what ends up happening is these folks break down unit cohesion.
Yeah.
Because they start to, you know, pit, you know, the troops against their combat leaders, you know, being them senior enlisted or officers. And you also have this sense of the commissar, you know, how they used to have in the old Soviet Union army, the person that is there not to support the unit, but to report things up to a different and separate chain of command. And then that also causes a very tentative, very anxiety-oriented atmosphere in a unit because they don't feel that they're free to go out and do their job. They don't feel that they're free, you know, when they have come back from a patrol or whatever, to sit down and shoot the you-know-what, as we used to say.
Yeah.
Because someone might be taking notes and someone might come back and do something against them.
And therefore you can't relax. There's more to discuss about this, and Colonel West is going to stay with us. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom Troops. It's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do every day. Then take a break to stay in the area. Colonel West and I will be right back. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I ordered my men to open fire on the enemy in Vietnam. For doing the same thing in Afghanistan, Lieutenant Clint Lawrence was court-martialed and sent to Fort Leavenworth under President Obama. Now Green Beret Major Matthew Goldstein and Navy SEAL Chief Edward Gallagher have been court-martialed. Killing terrorist combatants ought not to be a crime. To restore freedom to those who fought for ours, sign my petition at restorefreedom.info. Congressman Duncan Hunter and I will deliver your message to Washington. Let's rally for unfairly accused combat warriors. Restorefreedom.info. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. This message is paid for by the Uniformed Services League.
This weekend, unplug. Getting closer to nature can get you closer to your family. To find the forest nearest you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Thank you.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Front Lines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation about abused combat veterans with Colonel Alan West. So we very much agree that one of the problems is there's too many lawyers. I mean, I guess if I was a young lawyer and I joined the Army and they assigned me to a unit, a battalion or something, I'd want to do something. So I guess that's understandable that they go out and try to do the lawyer thing. But I think the Army, I presume Marines, Navy, I don't know about them, needs to reduce the number of lawyers, one, to save the money, but two, to help us restore combat readiness and combat cohesion. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, but, you know, I think that one of the most important things is that I like the Marine Corps model. Every Marine is a rifleman, first and foremost. And so even if you're going to be a JAG officer in the Marine Corps, you're going to go to the basic school, TBS, and you're going to learn what it's like to be, you know, a ground combat Marine. That's their foundation. So I think that when you have people that, you know, finish law school, you slap a uniform on them, and then they go to a unit, and all of a sudden they're the JAG officer there, whichever side of the JAG bench they're on. They don't have the same understanding of what it means to be out there at the tactical level and really be around those troops on the ground. And then all of a sudden, as we talked about in the previous segment, you know, when they're there, you know, they create a sense of anxiety and they create a sense of distrust. Because you have your soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines that are there, and they don't really understand why this person is here, what they're to do. Is he taking notes? Is he keeping a list? I mean, what have you? Well, you know, think about the movie Lone Survivor, how here you have a compromised, you know, Navy SEAL reconnaissance mission, and their biggest concern in dealing with those Afghan sheep herders was that they didn't want bodies to be found, and the next thing you know, they were going to be on CNN or whatever as war criminals. So what did they do? They let them go. And it ended up three of the four in that team lost their lives. And then we also had that helicopter that was shot down as part of that rescue mission. And so that's what we don't want to have. We don't want to have our young men and women on the ground second-guessing themselves. And a great case, you know, Clint Lawrence, a Texan, young man who ordered the firing on of the Taliban. I mean, the Taliban uses motorcycles. They scout out your position, and then they report back what they have seen. They were ordered not to come near the position, you know, and they continued to close on the position. Clint ordered the firing of them. Now, what Clint is sitting around with 15 to 20 years in prison in Fort Leavenworth for premeditated murder. This is what we ask our combat leaders to do, is to kill and engage the enemy. But yet, when you have someone that is a deserter, like Bo Bergdahl, some Army, you know, judge decides that he suffered enough and he should go free, even though he admitted to being a deserter. And he basically admitted and pled guilty to the fact that three or four other soldiers had lost their lives trying to find him. So, you know, what message does that send to these young troops in the on the ground when the deserter gets to go free?
I agree.
Me being here and doing what I'm supposed to do, now I'm the one sitting in prison.
Well, I did what Clint Lawrence did when I was in Vietnam. My first tour, I was a first lieutenant, new platoon leader in combat. At least one occasion, my troops told me that what they saw, and I ordered, I didn't have a gun truck, mortars or artillery, I don't remember what, I ordered to be engaged. That's what I was supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if ever there was a classic example of a platoon leader doing exactly what his job is supposed to be, Clint Lawrence is an example of that.
You're right. And what ends up happening is that, you know, you fast forward about, I think, 3 or 4 years, and there's an Air Force patrol in Afghanistan, and a motorcycle with a couple of folks, suicide bomber, approaches their patrol. They didn't take any action. And guess what happens? They detonate, and the members of that patrol are killed. Because in the back of their minds, they have these, like you say, the goofy rules of engagement, and they don't want to end up in jail. They don't want to end up in prison. I mean, don't, if you think that our troops are not talking about these cases and talking about these situations, you know, hey, you got to be careful. You probably shouldn't want to do this. You don't want to do that. You don't want to end up like Lieutenant Lawrence or whomever that's sitting back, you know, in Fort Leavenworth. I don't want to lose my freedom. I'll take the chance of this happening. And what that means is that they're putting their lives in danger because they're more so afraid of lawyers on the battlefield than the enemy on the battlefield. And that's a horrible thing.
That is horrible. This is Colonel Danny Gilliam on Front Lines of Freedom. We're talking with Colonel Alan West. Alan, there was recently an event in Washington, D.C. to bring public attention to this issue, and I think you were a speaker there. And there's going to be another one on the 10th of July in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
There are groups out there, but the goal of the groups is to influence the president and or Congress to get these people, one, out of jail, but two, have the conviction removed from their lives. And that's something our listeners can do. They can contact their congressman. They can write the president. The event on the 10th of July is called the Restore Freedom event. RestoreFreedom.info will give you all the information you want on it. And again, the purpose is to bring the attention of the president on these. There are some soldiers that did stupid criminal things. We're not talking about them. We're talking about the soldiers who did their job the way they should have done it. And have been convicted murderers today if they're out of prison yet. Those are the people we want to stand up for. Alan, thank you for talking about that. Take a minute now and talk about what you're doing in Texas besides being a guest on Front Lines of Freedom.
Well, you know, we continue to stand up and fight for, you know, freedom and liberty here in Texas. The progressive socialist left has the Lone Star State in their sights. That's why, you know, I wrote the book, Hold Texas, Hold the Nation, Victory or Death. You can get it on Amazon.com. You can follow me on theoldschoolpatriot.com. That's our website. And then also on Facebook, on YouTube, and Instagram. So we're just trying to make sure that we honor the oath that you and I took to the Constitution of the United States of America and keep this a free country.
Alan, thank you. Thank you for taking time to join us today. And thank you for your service to our nation. I'm proud to call you brother.
Airborne, sir, all the way.
That event on the 10th of July, go to restorefreedom.info. That's restorefreedom.info. Now it's time for our Stand Tall Troop Report. This is when I find an outstanding performance of duty, and we get to honor this fine troop. A former staff sergeant, Army guy, who took on enemy fighters at close range, first with an M249 light machine gun and then with a knife, will be the first living veteran of Operation Iraqi Freedom to receive a Medal of Honor. He's also a talk radio host, so this guy's a great guy. David Bellavia, 43, of Batavia, New York, will receive the medal on June 25th at the White House. His Silver Star citation for heroism on 10 November 2004 in Fahula, Iraq, reads like the script for an action movie. An infantryman with Company A, 1st Infantry Division, 2nd Task Force 22, Bellavia was ordered with his platoon to clear a 12-building block in which jihadists were taking shelter in order to fire on American troops. They cleared the first nine with no problems. Bellavia and four other soldiers entered the 10th building and found them under fire from insurgents. As more soldiers rushed to reinforce, the close quarters combat became hot and intense, and troops began to go down with injuries. At this point, Sergeant Bellavia, armed with a saw machine gun, entered the room where the insurgents were located and sprayed the room with gunfire, forcing the jihadists to take cover and allowing the squad to move out into the street. He'd find himself one man pitted against a house full of armed fighters. He first encountered an insurgent with a rocket-propelled grenade and took him out. He would continue to fight and fell insurgents until he was joined by five other members of his platoon. He left the Army in 2005 after 6 years of service, co-founded a political advocacy organization, Veterans for Freedom. He documented his military experiences in House to House, an epic memoir of war, co-written with John Bruning and published in 2007. So stand tall, Sergeant Bellavia. Front Lines of Freedom of all of our nation's patriots salute you. This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour talking with Renee Nickel about her book about her warrior brother. Then Nathaniel Philbrick will discuss his book, In the Hurricane. And then we'll talk with weatherman Bill Steffen about his warrior dad. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America report. This is Colonel Danny Gilliam. Troops, it's time to run. We're in a couple of miles of wind sprints. Then grab some protein and rehydrate with water. Finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.
Now, Now is the time, and wherever you are is the place. The Citadel makes it easier to earn your degree by offering master's degrees, graduate certificates, and undergraduate degree completion programs entirely online. Flexible scheduling makes these programs convenient for working professionals. Continuing the Citadel's legacy of academic excellence, classes are held to the same high standards that consistently name the Citadel the number one master's granting public college in the South. Online, on your time. Visit citadel.edu/online.
Wouldn't it be great to see your windows in a whole new light? Do it right. Call your local neighborhood experts. Budget Blinds. You'll get beautiful style and personalized service for every budget. We bring the showroom right to your home, so you can choose from hundreds of blinds, shades, shutters, and drapes. Plus smart home window coverings you control with the touch of a button. And with Budget Blinds, we do it all for you. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy. There's a reason why Budget Blinds is the number one provider of custom window coverings in North America. When we say we have style and service for every budget, we really mean it. So let's get your home a whole lot of gorgeous. Get your free consultation right at home. Just go online to budgetblinds.com or call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS. Call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS for your free consultation right at home. Now that's beautiful. At participating independently owned and operated franchises only. Ask for details.
I started going cold turkey, at least when I'm in the car.
I know I shouldn't do it, but it's so hard to stop. That's why I hide it.
I do it all the time. I stopped by locking it in my glove compartment.
My friend used to do it way too much. Now I turn it off when we're in the car.
My solution is simple. I just don't do it.
There are lots of ways to stop yourself and others from texting and driving. How will you stop? Tell us at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
House Republican leaders are reacting to the news that the Democrats are drafting articles of impeachment against President Trump. Talking with reporters at the Capitol, Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy calls this a sad day for America.
With the idea, just because you created a timeline to impeach a president that you disliked, you ignored facts. We would never be here.
Busy day on Capitol Hill as House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says there's been a breakthrough in negotiations on a new North American trade deal.
This is a day we've all been working to and working for on the path to yes.
The USMCA trade deal is one of President Trump's top priorities and would give the president a victory before Christmas. Now, this would replace NAFTA, which was negotiated during the Clinton administration. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Our prime responsibility is protecting our families, but we also need to protect our families' assets. For years, I've studied economics in the Bible and as a financial professional. I'm Dr. Tom Barrett. I found gold to be the best way to protect assets from a government gone wild. Gold is ridiculed by leftist elites who say it's old-fashioned and not suitable for financial planning. But gold is anything but outdated. Smart families use it as part of their retirement plans. Gold has been the only universally recognized money since the beginning of time. Precious metals are the only money in the Bible, and they're the only constitutional money. Your paper money is just government IOUs backed by nothing. No paper money has ever survived. They crash, on average, in 27 years. The dollar will not be the first to defy this law of economics. Learn more at investmentgradegold.com. That's investmentgradegold.com for your free 10-10-10 financial survival plan.
A 2020 Democratic presidential hopeful says thanks but no thanks to the December Democratic debate. With the details, here's USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes in Washington.
Presidential hopeful Tulsi Gabbard says she is going to skip the December 19th Democratic debate, even if she qualifies for it. The congresswoman from Hawaii says she's going to instead spend the time campaigning in the important primary states of New Hampshire and South Carolina. Gabbard is close to qualifying. She needs just one more poll with at least 4% support.
Some of those injured in the mass shooting at a Florida Navy base are being let out of the hospital. Naval Air Station Pensacola announced yesterday that five of those hurt in last week's shooting, including two deputies, have been released. Three people were killed in the shooting, along with the gunman. The FBI is looking into the terror attack and also seeking a possible motive. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
An alarming number of people are being diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease as the population ages. USA Radio Network's Robin Walensky reports on two drugs on the market that can help slow the progression in some patients.
In USA News for Your Health, Alzheimer's disease growing at a rate of epidemic proportions. In 2010, there were almost 500,000 people newly diagnosed. But by 2030, the number of new cases expected to rise by 35% as the population ages.
People are living longer. What we know about Alzheimer's and dementia in general is that the incidence increases significantly with age. So it's rare in people less than about 60, but as you go from 65 up, it increases significantly and becomes a common disease.
Dr. Lisa Billers, chief of neurology at Kaiser Permanente in Georgia, says you notice it when a family member or friend can't remember recent things.
The problem in Alzheimer's disease is that you can't encode new memories, so those memories don't stick.
Dr. Billers says there is medication, but it doesn't reverse the disease. It can slow it down.
Aricept. And then there's also Namenda. Those are the two main categories of drugs. They've been on the market for a long time. They work for some people, but not everyone.
And finally, it was back on this date in 1915 when the 1 millionth Ford car rolls off the assembly line in Detroit, Michigan. For more news, find us online at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com. At the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Thank you.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Hoo-wah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciates you joining us this fine day in America. I have several friends who are the alumni of the Citadel, the Military College of South Carolina. This great institution allows cadets to further their education and earn a commission in our military if they desire, which about one in every three does. Ranked as the number one public college in the South, the Citadel also offers master's degree graduate certificates online or on campus. If you're looking for a bachelor or master's degree, this might be the college for you. Check citadel.edu. Here's what we have for you this hour. First, Renee Nickel will share about her book, Always My Hero, about her Marine brother. Then we'll discuss how the Revolutionary War really was won with author Nathaniel Philbrick. And Bill Steffens will share stories about his combat veteran's father on this Our Father's Day show. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America report. Troops, I welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's a pleasure to introduce Renee Nickel. She's a Gold Star sister who lost her Marine brother in combat, and she's written an amazing book about him entitled Always My Hero. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom, Renee.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
Renee, tell us a little bit about your background. Talk about growing up with your brother, Sam.
We just had a blast. We grew up in the mountains of Pennsylvania, and, you know, we were latchkey kids. Both our parents worked, and so, you know, we had a lot of freedom to just roam around and find adventures and get into trouble, try to get out of trouble. So, you know, he was just a character, just really, really warm and funny, and we just had a great time growing up in Pennsylvania. And then when I was 10 years old, when we moved to North Carolina area, and then from there, after which I became a military wife and he joined the Marines. And so we've been all over since then.
Okay. That makes sense. You know, I grew up with three sisters and I always thought it was a brother's job to pick on sisters. Did your brother do a good job of picking on you?
Oh, he sure did. Yeah. You know, he always told me that he was going to give me a knuckle sandwich. And I know, I didn't know what that was, but I never wanted a knuckle sandwich. And, you know, he would hold me down and he'd give me Indian burns for, you know, harassing him. And
okay.
So,
a good brother. What else can we say? Okay.
Exactly.
So when and why did he join the Marines?
Well, he always wanted to be a pilot from the time he was about 5 years old. And we thought he would become an astronaut or, you know, his original plan was to join the Air Force. And when it came time for him to go to college, he wanted to go to Penn State, which he did. And he joined the Navy ROTC at Penn State. But after his first semester, the Marine Corps offered him a full ride if he switched to the Marines. So he could still fly jets. That was his goal. And so that's how he ended up joining the Marine Corps.
What were your feelings about him joining the military in general and the Marines in particular?
I didn't think really one way or another. You know, my dad was in the Army. You know, a lot of my uncles were in the military, Air Force, Army. My grandparents all served in World War II. I wasn't worried or anything. It just seemed like the natural course for him. And my mom had some concerns about him being a Marine. And, you know, and when I was 16 years old, when he went to college, I didn't really know the difference between Air Force, Marines, Army. You know, it wasn't really until I became a military spouse that I really learned the differences of the branches.
That makes sense. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're discussing the book, Always My Hero, with Renee Nickel. Okay, so he became a Marine, obviously a pilot. How did your relationship with him change, or did it change, when he was now a pilot in the military and you're not?
Well, you know, I was always really proud of him. And I would brag to people, to my friends, any chance I got. My brother flies F-18s because I thought it was the coolest thing in the world that my brother flew jets. And to me, he was just my big brother, you know, sometimes annoying, sometimes, you know, just silly. Yeah. And so I never really saw him as this Marine Corps officer who flies jets. You know, a lot of people respected, because to me, he's still the guy who would punch me in the arm when I was 21 years old.
Uh-huh.
You know, and so I thought it was really cool that he flew jets, but, you know, to me, he was just still Sam. But it was hard, you know, kind of living in his shadow. You know, I kind of just lived in his shadow most of our childhood and growing up.
Okay. Talk about his time in combat.
His first tour in Iraq, he just, it was in 2003. It was after 9/11, and he went for, you know, straight 90 days and dropped some ordnance in Iraq. And then, you know, his second tour was to Iraq. It was after he stopped flying, and he became a forward air controller with the 4th Anglico. And, you know, he didn't see too much action. And I think there's, you know, a few reasons why he went to Afghanistan for the third tour while he volunteered. But, you know, I think he wanted to see some combat. You know, he had been training for years with the 4th Anglico. And so that, you know, I mean, he ended up losing his life 5 weeks into the tour, you know, so he, you know, just unfortunately just was seeing too much combat. You know, he stepped in for another one of his other Marines. So,
okay. And talk about that now as his sister. When you found out what happened, how did you and your family respond?
When I found out, it was the morning of December 14th in 2011, and I was getting my kids ready for school. I was we were actually stationed at Eglin Air Force Base in Florida, and you know, I was planning on going shopping, and it was 7:30 in the morning, and my phone rings, and it's my mom, and I'm wondering why my mom is calling me at 7:30 in the morning. And, you know, and I was just like, oh, it's my mom, you know. So I picked up the phone. I was like, hey, Mom. You know, and she's crying hysterically. I can't even understand a word she's saying. And, you know, and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, something must have happened to my brother. Like, he must have been injured. But, you know, I had this moment where I'm relieved that he's coming home. Because in my mind, my brother was invincible, like, just untouchable. You know, to me, he was and is my hero, and I just never saw him as someone who could lose his life in war. And, you know, my mom just kind of slowed her talking, and she was like, you know, Renee, Sam was killed in Afghanistan, and I just lost it. You know, I dropped the phone, fell to my knees, and you know, it was a tough day.
Of that, I believe. Folks, we're going to give away a copy of this book, Always My Hero, at the end of the show. But, Renee, I'm sure some listeners will want to buy them. I presume it's available on Amazon and lots of other places.
It is. Any online retailer has it available.
He obviously had a family, so this is our Father's Day show. I take it that he was also a darn good father.
He was an excellent father. You know, he lost his life the day before his youngest son's birthday, his sixth birthday. And, you know, and I have a daughter now who's 4 years old. I have a son who's 8. And, you know, and actually my second daughter was 5 at the time when Sam was killed. And you know, and every time they reach an age, you know, and I think about, you know, those boys and how they lost their dad. He had 2 sons. One was, you know, like I said, had just turned 6, and the other one was turning 8 a few months later. But he was an outstanding dad. He wanted to spend every single moment he could with them when he was home.
Sounds like Always My Hero is an appropriate title. Renee, thank
you. Absolutely.
Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for honoring one of our nation's true heroes. He was a husband and a father, and we honor him especially on this Father's Day. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, we'll discuss the Revolutionary War with historian Nathaniel Philbrick. Then my friend Bill Steffen will discuss his combat vet dad. You've reported for duty to Front Lines of Freedom. I want you to balance on 1 foot for 3 minutes, then balance on the other foot for 3 minutes. Do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. I'll be right back.
This hour of Front Lines of Freedom is brought to you by HelpVet.net. HealthVet.net is an online resource and information center dedicated to the welfare of those who have sacrificed for the freedoms, ideals, and morals we Americans hold dear to our hearts. At HealthVet.net, find information on benefit-related issues from education, healthcare, military pay, retirement, VA loans, and resources on education, finance, legal, health and wellness, the military life, moving and housing, travel and entertainment, and much, much more. Visit HealthVet.net, HealthVet.net.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your Home Defense Tip of the Week. Look like sheep and you'll be eaten by wolves. According to interviews done with armed robbers, you are far more likely to be targeted by criminals if you look weak and helpless. Carry yourself with pride and military bearing, because many criminals can spot a soft target with one glance. Stay alert and aware of your surroundings. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
American investors lost $3.7 trillion of net worth in the fourth quarter of 2018. When your portfolio's value decreases